28th verse of this passage of the book of Acts, the chapter 26 that we have read, as my text. The text simply says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." To set the scene before us, a few chapters back, the great apostle Paul had been in the temple in Jerusalem. When he was in the temple, he was set upon and attacked by a group of Jews from Asia. These Jews were intent on killing the apostle, but Roman soldiers who were stationed there intervened. They rescued him and they took him into the castle. There the apostle was held. He was imprisoned. Before he was brought to face his accusers in the council or the Sanhedrin. After he faced them, he was taken to the city of Caesarea, where he faced further questioning. The reason he was taken from Jerusalem to Caesarea was because there was a threat made on his life by the Jews. This city of Caesarea was home to a Roman governor by the name of Felix. But at the end of Acts 24, we read that he was replaced by another governor. He was a man called Festus. And in the previous chapter of Acts, we read that King Herod Agrippa, that he came up to the city of Caesarea to visit Felix, or rather to visit Festus. This King Herod Agrippa, he was the last in a line of Herods to rule in Judea. It was his father who was responsible for the death of James and the arrest of Peter in Acts chapter 12. That same Herod was also, at the end of that chapter, was eaten by worms. His great-grandfather was the king responsible for the murder of all the young children whenever Christ was born. And this particular king, he was continuing in the family tradition of living an immoral and sinful life. He lived a wicked life. He was an evil man. He was an ungodly man. And as these men, they talked together in Caesarea, the subject of Paul came up. And Festus, he informed Herod about Paul's peculiar case. And as a result, Herod had a desire to hear what Paul had to say for himself. And the next day, the apostle Paul was sent for to come and bear witness to Herod, to come and present his case. And we read about that in Acts chapter 26, verse 1. We read that Paul, he has come and he is ready to present his case to Herod. And it says that then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." But this evening, I just wish to consider three lessons or three thoughts that we can learn from this event in the life of King Herod Agrippa. And the first thing I'd like us to consider is the great message that he heard. King Herod had the great privilege of hearing the gospel preached by none other than the Apostle Paul. I'm sure none of us would be in any doubt that the Apostle Paul was one of the greatest preachers to ever walk on this earth. In Acts chapter 26, verse 1, we have read that Herod, he permitted Paul to speak for himself. And in the second part of that verse, it says, "Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself." He began his discourse. He began to give his testimony. He began to tell of what the Lord had done in his life. And he begins firstly by recalling his sinful past. In verses 4 to 12, he recalls his background as a Pharisee. In verse number 5, it tells us, "Which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee." The Apostle Paul was a Pharisee. He studied law at the feet of a man called Gamaliel. Gamaliel was a well-respected Jewish scholar, a well-educated teacher, a man who taught others. And the Apostle Paul was taught by him. The Apostle, he knew the law. He knew the various Jewish customs. And we could say that he was a great scholar, and in his day we could say that he was a genius. But he also took part in the persecution of Christians. In Acts chapter 6, Acts chapter 7, we read of Stephen. We know how Paul, he gave his approval to the murder of Stephen. We know how that whenever they stoned him, the men who stoned him laid their coats at Paul's feet. Then in Acts chapter 8, the first number 3, we read a little bit more about the Apostle Paul. Or as he was called then, he was called Saul. It says in verse 3, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison." He persecuted the church. He was a wicked man. He was an enemy of the church. This was the background. This was the sinful past of the Apostle Paul. And this is what he related to Herod Agrippa. He was telling Herod the man that he used to be. The things that he used to do. These ungodly, these unrighteous things. But then, in verses 13 to 15, the Apostle Paul, he relates about his wonderful conversion. Paul's conversion, it was remarkable. As he travelled down that Damascus road, he'd been sent there to persecute believers. He was going to Damascus with a sole aim of seeing believers persecuted, to see them arrested, imprisoned, and perhaps even put to death. But yet on that road, there was a bright light that came down from heaven, blinding him, and the Lord spoke to him. We read what the Lord said from verse 14 down to verse number 18. We read it in our Bible reading. We have to say that the Lord did a mighty work in the upon the since Saul as he was then in his soul. One thing we can say is that Saul, or Paul, he did not save himself. We look at his background, there's no way that a man like that would just decide, I'm going to go down a different road and do it himself. But rather, the Lord worked in his heart. The Lord spoke to him. The Lord brought about that change in his character, in his behaviour, in his outlook, whenever he saved his soul. We can sometimes look at the Apostle Paul's conversion and we would say it was very dramatic. But one thing that we should highlight is that just because we have not had a Damascus Road experience, we have not seen a bright light from heaven, it does not mean that we are saved in a different way than the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was saved through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And that is the same way in which we are saved today. And it's the same way in which men have been saved right through history. But we also see the apostles' sacrificial service. And Paul, he also remarks and recounts how the Lord had called him to be a minister and a witness. We read about that in verse 16. It says, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." The Lord used the Apostle Paul mightily. He went to many different cities. He went on missionary journeys. He went to cities such as Athens, Thessalonica, Corinth. He even made it as far as Rome. During his ministry, though, he faced many trials and tribulations. There was many blessed times. There was times when many people were led to the Lord. But there was also the trials and tribulations. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 4 says, "But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labours, in watchings, in fastings." There was many things the apostle faced as a minister. There was much persecution. There was many times he ended up in jail. We think of Acts 16 and how he ended up in that prison cell in Philippi. He ended up there and he could have asked the question when he was in the jail, "Lord, you have called me to Philippi. You've called me here to preach the gospel, but here I am, locked in a prison cell." But no. He actually praised the Lord even when he was in the prison cell. We know how that led to the conversion of the Philippian jailer. And the Lord did, even though those circumstances to the human mind looked, they could have looked like, how is a church ever going to be built? But the Lord worked. Also in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, from verse 23 down to the verse number 28, we have more accounts of trials and tribulations that the apostle has faced. In verse 24 we read of how that he received 40 stripes, save one, 5 times. Verse 25, he was beaten with rods. He was stoned. He suffered shipwreck. Verse 26, we hear that he was in the perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, various other perils. Verse 27, weariness, painfulness, hunger and thirst. He faced many tribulations. He had to make many sacrifices. There's some people there and they think that the Christian life, when you're saved, it'll all be rosy. It'll be like a bed of roses. Nothing will go wrong. And if something goes wrong, they'll say, well, you weren't faithful enough. But the Apostle Paul, we have no doubt that he was a faithful man. He was a man who trusted the Lord. He depended upon him. But yet he faced hardships. But the Lord always helped him through it. You notice in verse 22 it says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. The apostle, he also showed, when he was speaking to Herod Agrippa, as part of this great message, he showed how Christ's death and resurrection, it was the same message that the Old Testament prophets had preached. The Lord spoke this same message over in the book of Luke, chapter 24. It was on the road to Emmaus. Luke 24, in the verse number 44. He says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. The Old Testament testified of Christ's death and resurrection. We can perhaps look at the book of Isaiah, the chapter 53. There's many, many prophecies in regards to Christ in scripture. Especially in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is full of them, but we'll just consider one of them. We'll just look at Isaiah 53, on the verse 3, it says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. It's clearly speaking of Christ. That chapter speaks much of Christ. But the Old Testament was full of prophecies. And that is what the Apostle Paul was saying to Herod. The Old Testament scriptures which Herod knew, it spoke of Christ. It verified, validated Paul's message. But in verse 27 of Acts 26, he said, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? By saying that, he really had Herod between the eyeballs. He buttonholed him. Herod was caught. If he said that he believed the prophets, he was admitting that what Paul said was right, and that Christ had died and had been resurrected. But remember, Herod was the Jewish king, and the Jews, they rejected Christ, and it would put him in an awkward spot, because the Jewish subjects, they would be in uproar. But also, if he said that he didn't believe the prophets, his Jewish subjects would also be in uproar. Maybe tonight, you know the scriptures. Maybe tonight you've read the Word of God from cover to cover. Maybe you've read the great theological works and masterpieces of the day. And you've had a great opportunity to hear the wondrous message of the Gospel preached many times over, maybe for many years. But yet, you're still not saved. Like Herod, you don't want to give a response. You're happy to listen, but you don't want to act upon it. You're spurning the privilege. But how long will you continue to reject it? Secondly, this evening, we can consider the great mistake that Herod made. Not as that Herod rejected the gospel. And it was a great mistake. By rejecting, he lost everything. Whenever Paul pinned him with that statement that we just mentioned in verse 27, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Says, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Like Felix a few chapters before in the book of Acts, Herod, when hearing the preaching of Paul, he rejected the gospel. Maybe tonight you've heard this message proclaimed many, many times. You maybe heard it over and over. It's something perhaps that you could even tell somebody else. Perhaps you could almost preach it yourself. You know it so well. But yet you refuse to heed it. You refuse to obey it. You refuse to heed the gospel call. You don't want to come to the Lord. Perhaps you're living a sinful life. Herod here was living a very wicked, sinful and immoral life. He was a wicked man. Perhaps maybe you don't want to give up your sin. You don't want to give up your wickedness. Maybe you see so much in your own life. There's many things you don't want to part with. Or maybe you think you just couldn't part with it. But the Lord, He will give you help to give up your sin. There's a day coming whenever we will leave this earth. And those things, our sin will be left behind. We will no longer be able to engage in it. But rather we will give account to the Lord for what we have done. When we are born, we enter into this life with nothing. When we leave it, we leave with nothing. There's nothing on this world that we can bring with us. When that day comes, there's only one thing that matters. And that's where we stand spiritually. Are we saved or are we lost? Sadly, King Herod, we never hear in history of him ever turning to the Lord. But friend, what about you? Will you make the same great mistake that Herod made of rejecting the gospel? I remember playing in a five-a-side football tournament about 10 years ago, and the team that I was in, we made it to the final. And in the final, it came down to a penalty shootout. And we ended up losing the final when our fifth penalty taker missed his penalty. Then their team, obviously, they scored theirs. We could say that we almost won, but we lost. We almost won. We were within touching distance of lifting the trophy, but we lost. Herod here, he was almost persuaded. He was almost persuaded, but he was lost. He never came to know the Lord. He had a wonderful opportunity to partake of God's salvation. He heard the gospel preached by one of the greatest preachers ever. But he missed it. He didn't take the opportunity. And oh, he would reap the consequences. There's no prize for almost winning a competition. If you're almost saved, there will be no heavenly reward. But rather, you must be altogether saved. And Paul's response to Herod in verse 29, where he says, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. The words almost and altogether, they show a great difference. Almost, we could say, is one side. Altogether is the other side. They're almost opposites. Paul's desire is to see all these people one for Christ. Not almost one, but altogether one. If someone is almost one for Christ, if someone is almost saved, they're not saved at all. They're no different than somebody who has perhaps never heard the gospel at all, never even considered it. The only way you can be right with the Lord is to be altogether saved. Our desire, the reason we preach the gospel, is not that you would be almost saved. It is that you would be altogether persuaded, altogether convinced that the gospel is true. Not you would believe in the gospel, that you would turn to the Lord in repentance and faith and seek His great salvation. We do not want anyone to be almost persuaded, to be almost convinced, almost won. You could use a multitude of terms. But we want them to be all together. It's a serious matter. Perhaps tonight you're almost persuaded. You're almost convinced, but there's something holding you back in your life. Is it really worth putting off salvation? When we know that when it comes to judgment, there will only be those who are altogether persuaded and have placed their faith and trust in Christ alone will be in heaven. Those who do not accept, those who refuse to trust in Christ, they will be lost in eternity forever in hell. Herod Agrippa, as we said, we don't know for sure because history has no record of it. But from the evidence that we do have in Scripture, we can be almost certain that he went to a lost eternity in hell. There is no record of him ever turning to Christ. He made a great mistake, It was a fatal mistake. It was a costly mistake, especially for his soul. Tonight, will you make the same mistake? Will you walk out of the doors of this church without giving a thought to your soul, to where your soul could be if you were called into eternity this evening? Will you walk out almost convinced, almost persuaded? Or will you turn and seek the Lord tonight? But thirdly, tonight, and finally, and briefly, there is a great warning that Herod gives us. Herod rejected the gospel. He rejected Christ. And that is a warning to each one of us here tonight. If we want to inherit eternal life, if we want to be in glory with the Lord for all eternity, we must place our faith and trust in the Lord. Herod was a king. He was a mighty man. He had people who were under him. He commanded, if he wanted something, he gave somebody an order, and they went and they brought it to him. He had great power, he had great authority, he had great riches. He had his servants to do his bidding and many assets in life. We can imagine him coming to Caesarea to meet with Festus here, and coming with all the pomp and ceremony, probably perhaps with a big parade, and we can just imagine the scene. But yet, would he not have been better forsaking all those riches and seeking Christ? Because when the day came, whenever he passed from this world, all those riches, all that power, all that authority that he had, it was worthless. He had a comfortable life on earth, but in eternity he faced damnation and judgment and torment and hell. The words of Mark 8, verse 36, how true they are. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Herod, perhaps, if he turned to the Lord, he may have become the laughingstock of his peers. Maybe tonight you're thinking, if I come to Christ, how will I tell my friends that I've become a Christian? They'll look at me and they'll laugh. But is it not better to be a laughingstock on earth and to go to be in glory with the Lord, to have that peace, than to be one of the crowd and to go to a lost eternity spent in hell? Tonight, as we bring this meeting to a close, will you heed this warning from Herod? Do you realize the privilege that it is to hear the gospel, to hear that great message that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world to die on the cross to save sinners? But most importantly, will you heed the message? Herod made a great mistake that we have looked at. His life serves us as a warning. He was almost persuaded. But yet, as we know, there is no evidence to suggest that he ever was altogether persuaded at a later stage of his life. Will you come to the Lord and believe in him? Or will you continue down your merry way, making the same mistake that Herod made, continuing on down that path of sin? Or maybe you're thinking, I'll get saved some other day, someday whenever it suits me. But friend, we don't know if there will be another day. Felix, in Acts chapter 24, he thought this. In Acts chapter 24, verse 25, the Apostle Paul had reasoned with him of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. It says that Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." As far as we know, again, like with Herod, there is no historical record, there is no biblical record that that convenient season ever came. Don't put off salvation. Don't delay, but come to the Saviour. There was a hymn that was wrote by Philip Paul Bliss, and it says, "Almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go Spirit, go thy way, some more convenient day, on thee I'll call." And the final verse of that hymn, it's so solemn. It says, "Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, that bitter wail. Almost, but lost." Friend, this evening, don't be almost persuaded, but be altogether persuaded. Turn to the Lord, call upon him, and he will save you. Amen.